When the patrons of the Stonewall Inn fought back against a police raid in 1969, they ignited what would become the modern gay rights movement. That same week, a federal appeals court ruled that a gay employee couldn't be fired solely for his immoral conduct. These watershed moments mark dramatic shifts in how society and law approach human sexuality. While the physical acts of sex remain largely unchanged through history, our judgments about them exist in constant flux. The law's attempt to regulate our most intimate behaviors reveals fascinating contradictions about power, morality, and human nature that continue to shape our lives today. Over 750,000 Americans live on sex offender registries with severe lifetime restrictions, despite research showing released sex offenders have lower recidivism rates than other criminals, and registries haven't measurably improved public safety. The digital era creates new complications. When teenagers share sexual content, they can paradoxically be both victims and perpetrators of child pornography, highlighting how outdated our legal frameworks are from modern sexual realities. The 20th century saw dramatic shifts in sexual attitudes, driven by Freud's universalization of desire. While advocating some instinctual restraint, Freud opposed forced abstinence. By 1930, U.S. jurist Augustus Hand declared the obvious: the sex impulses are present in everyone. This understanding advanced birth control and reproductive rights, though these movements problematically overlapped with eugenic targeting of the mentally defective. The legal distinction between pornography and prostitution remains arbitrarily thin. Both involve payment for sexual acts, yet their legality often depends merely on the presence of a camera. In 1987, the California Supreme Court ruled that paying porn actors wasn't prostitution, since the payment was for simulating pleasure on camera rather than personal gratification. For centuries, marriage granted husbands unrestricted sexual access to their wives. Lord Matthew Hale's doctrine established that marriage vows implied perpetual sexual consent, making marital rape legally impossible. This marital rape exemption persisted longer than bans on abortion, birth control, and interracial marriage. The exemption remained in Britain until 1991 and required persistent feminist activism to overturn in America. New York's 1984 criminalization faced strong resistance, with politicians like Florida's Tom Bush defending marital sanctity and California's Bob Wilson making his notorious "Who can you rape?" comment. Though all states criminalized spousal rape by 1993, prosecution remains difficult, with legal loopholes treating it less severely than stranger rape. Courts resisted change, as evidenced by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's concern about intruding into the privacy of the marital bedroom. Women's suffrage and their entry into the workforce during World War I transformed marriage dynamics. By 1930, a quarter of professional women were married, and despite wage inequality, their economic independence allowed them to enter marriage on more equal terms. During the Cold War, the American government intensified its persecution of homosexuals. A 1964 memo declaring, "Once a homo, always a homo," reflected the prevailing view of homosexuality as an irreversible condition. Between 1947 and 1975, approximately 5,000 suspected gay federal employees were fired in the Purge of the Perverts, with countless others resigning under pressure. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover orchestrated widespread surveillance through sex deviants files, tracking individuals and disrupting their lives. Even Undersecretary of State Sumner Wells was forced to resign after a scandal, despite Roosevelt's support. The crisis escalated in 1950 when State Department official John Purifoy revealed 91 homosexual dismissals. Senator McCarthy weaponized this information, combining anti-communist and anti-homosexual fears. Eisenhower's Executive Order 10450 in 1953 made sexual perversion grounds for federal dismissal. This witch hunt bred widespread paranoia, with employees reporting colleagues for lesbian characteristics or girlish walks. The climate of fear claimed notable victims, including Senator Lester Hunt, who took his life after threats to expose his son's homosexuality. The sexual abuse of children provokes justified outrage, yet our legal approach reveals deep contradictions. While modern law prioritizes protecting children from sexual abuse, it often criminalizes children themselves. By 2009, 36 states required sex offender registration for juveniles, with few exemptions for children under 12. The 2006 Adam Walsh Act mandated registration for those 14 and older who commit aggravated sexual assaults, sometimes for life. Children face registration for typical childhood behaviors. An 11-year-old with neurological impairments was registered for groping his stepbrother. A group of 7-year-olds in Pennsylvania faced charges for teaching each other to have sex. In New Jersey, an 11-year-old who didn't understand the terms sex or rape was registered for life after an admission of penetrating his cousin. Digital technology has complicated adolescent sexuality legally. While teenage sexting is common, minors who share images of themselves can face child pornography charges and sex offender registration. The contradiction is clear. Teenagers can legally have sex, but face felony charges for documenting it. In Pennsylvania, high school girls who photographed themselves in towels faced felony charges unless they completed a program about what it means to be a girl in today's society. Laws against interracial sex were fundamental to racial oppression in America, serving to maintain white supremacy by prohibiting interracial marriage and cohabitation. When France deployed 500,000 colonial troops from Africa and Indochina during World War I, French women's romantic relationships with these men threatened the racist colonial hierarchy. The Mann Act exemplified broader efforts to control immigrant and minority sexuality. As STI science advanced, medical authorities blamed their spread on African Americans and poor immigrants, with one gynecologist citing the inpouring of foreign population with lower ideals. The 1967 Loving v. Virginia Supreme Court decision struck down miscegenation laws in 16 states. Yet prejudice persisted. Alabama didn't repeal its law until 2000, with 40% opposing repeal, while in 2011, 46% of Mississippi Republican primary voters still opposed interracial marriage. Obscenity law often reflected deep hypocrisy. Anthony Comstock, America's leading anti-obscenity crusader, privately struggled with sexual compulsion. His own battles with masturbation drove his campaign against materials he feared would corrupt youth. The intersection of law and sexuality creates profound social discomfort. Most people recognize that the boundaries between legal and illicit sex are ones many have crossed, with transgressions potentially destroying families, careers, and reputations. History reveals countless wrongful condemnations. Children labeled as sex offenders, sexting teens charged with child pornography, homosexuals jailed for their identity, and African Americans brutalized for interracial relationships. As laws evolve from regulating actions to controlling thoughts and identity, the 20th century sexual liberation brought its own risks. Sexual crimes trigger outsized fears and rushed responses, often leading us to abandon core legal principles like evidence and presumption of innocence. While masturbation is no longer condemned, the autoerotic pleasure of despising others remains destructive. As sexual boundaries continue shifting, we must develop approaches that protect the vulnerable while preserving individual autonomy. The greatest threat isn't consensual adult sexuality, but our tendency to condemn without understanding, a seemingly righteous impulse that undermines justice itself.